The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, October 1st, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us today. Plenty of stuff coming up today and in our Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio, which is back on the air, so make sure you stay tuned for that. On today's show, we have got some interesting stories for you. First of all, in our Behind the Headlines segment, we're going to look at how the states of Washington and Colorado are dealing with the complaints about marijuana smell now that people are growing, harvesting, having a whole lot of marijuana going on there. It's quite different how they're dealing with it in the two states, and we'll bring that to you in Behind the Headlines. In our Activist Agenda segment for today, we've got some more video from the Portland Hemp Stock, including Paul Stanford from the Campaign for the Restoration and Regulation of Hemp. He's putting forth two initiatives in Oregon, one statutory, one a constitutional amendment to legalize marijuana. And Chris Conrad from the West Coast Leaf, which is now launching online, speaking as well, one of the number one expert witnesses in medical marijuana and marijuana cultivation trials in the state of California. You'll want to stay tuned and check out their speeches. They got a lot of knowledge for you. Also, in the Radical Rant, we've got yet another story of Child Protective Services, this time in Michigan, taking away the infant daughter of a medical marijuana using patient. But this time there's a twist, because the Michigan law supposedly protects parents from that happening. We'll tell you all about it in the Radical Rant. Also today, we've got the debut in our Daily Toker Tunes of our new music editor, Electric Bob, who's going to be bringing us some music from Hudson Mohawk, a tune called Thank You, so we'll check that out at 20 after the hour. But first, we've got to get to our 420 radio news, and in the headlines today, we have got some amazing stories about the government shutdown. You know, our federal government has shut down, and we're going to tell you how that affects federal employees, including the DEA and Border Patrol, which might have some effects on you and I. Also, how does the government shutdown affect drug testing in federal transportation industries? We're looking at Colorado today for accepting the first ever applications in the world for legal marijuana retail. Also, Wyoming. Yes, news from Wyoming where they're trying to legalize. And speaking of the smell of pot, you won't believe what a man got convicted for in California. That doesn't even involve actual pot. Ha! It's amazing. Stay tuned for this and Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio coming up right now.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Hey, Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, October 1st, 2013. I'm Russ Belleville. In government shutdown, 80% of federal employees will keep working. This from businessinsider.com. They call it a government shutdown, but of about 4.1 million people who work for the federal government, about 80% will still be expected to show up for work. The roughly 3.3 million federal employees who will have to work fall into three main categories. Workers whose pay is not subject to annual appropriation, workers whose jobs are necessary to carry out activities that are not subject to annual appropriation, and workers whose jobs are essential to protect life or property. The Washington Post has a roundup of agencies with many employees deemed essential under this exception. Agencies where most employees will still be working include the Department of Homeland Security, including the TSA, Secret Service, Customs and Border Patrol, and FEMA, the Department of Transportation, including the FAA, the Departments of Veterans Affairs, including VA hospitals, and the Department of Justice, including the FBI, DEA, and Bureau of Prisons. Government shutdown means no drug testing for air traffic controllers, from PBS. Gone unnoticed in countless stories about the government shutdown is one tiny bit of information concerning Department of Transportation employees. Workers at the DOT will not be undergoing drug tests for the duration of the shutdown. Of the Department of Transportation's 55,468-person staff, 18,481 will be furloughed. Employees like air traffic controllers and safety inspectors are considered vital to air traffic safety and will still be on the job. The lack of drug tests isn't the only way the government shutdown will affect the Department of Transportation. Personnel also won't undergo routine background investigations. As for whether drug testing will be stopped at other agencies, that's unclear. The Department of Homeland Security, Commerce, Health and Human Services, the Interior, and Justice don't mention anything about drug testing in their official government shutdown documents. Colorado accepts historic applications for recreational marijuana shops, from the Denver Post. Colorado marked a new marijuana milestone on Tuesday when it became the first state in U.S. history to begin taking applications from people wanting to open legal recreational marijuana stores. Just after 9 a.m., Andy Williams, the owner of the Medicine Man Medical Marijuana Dispensary, stepped into an office conference room to become one of the first to submit an application. As of Tuesday morning, the state had scheduled 50 appointments for people wanting to open recreational marijuana stores, growing facilities, and infused products operations. Another 10 appointments are waiting to be finalized, and a dozen more businesses have emailed requesting appointments. All the available appointments for Tuesday and Wednesday have been booked, said John Seckman, the agent in charge of licensing and background checks for the Marijuana Enforcement Division. Group petitions for pot, from the Jackson Hole Daily. A Jackson-based group has petitioned state lawmakers to include a marijuana legalization initiative on the 2016 ballot. Christine Christian, director of the Wyoming chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, submitted an application to the Secretary of State in Cheyenne on Monday afternoon. If lawmakers place the issue on the ballot, it would be the first time Wyoming citizens could vote on legalizing marijuana. Another Wyoming nonprofit called Weed Wyoming announced Sunday that it will introduce an initiative to allow the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes alone. Said the Weed Wyoming president in a press release, James Lake, quote, "Although there is already an initiative in the pipeline for the 2016 ballot addressing marijuana law reform, its whole ball of wax approach has no chance, as it is our experience that there is a lot of support for reform in our state, but the vast majority of that support is for medical reform and not recreational use," end quote. Cali man convicted after cops smell pot on money, from hightimes.com. It is now officially a crime in the Golden State for your money to smell like illegal contraband. At least that appears to be the consensus of one California jury who turned in a guilty verdict against a Sebastopol resident, William David Bush, on Friday for the crime of possessing money collected from the sale of marijuana. According to reports, police arrested Bush last week after a routine traffic stop, though even a more extensive search did not uncover any punishable traces of marijuana. Officers believe that the money reeked of pot so intensely that there was no other rational explanation for the loot besides being the product of a felonious drug deal. Strangely, jurors managed to convict Bush, who represented himself in court, without first being permitted to smell the evidence themselves. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, October 1st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines for more stories about the smell of marijuana from Seattle and Denver, where police are dealing with complaints about marijuana smell. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember NCC420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit NCC420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at NCC420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. Let them bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Big Daddy Think.
Funky Rollerin.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, only on RadicalRuss.com.
All right, welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And we were just talking about the smell of marijuana, where a person in California got convicted for just having stinky money. Now we're going to lead you to some other stories about the smell of marijuana. This first one also comes from HighTimes.com, and it's entitled Denver Uses Nasal Ranger to Weed Out Pot Odor Complaints. Now, this nasal ranger, that's not like a guy whose job is to be the nasal ranger. No, this is, we're talking about a olfactory sensing device. It's a patented device that augments the human sense of smell to ascertain if a given odor is beyond the acceptable legal parameters. Now, in Denver, this is handled by the city's Department of Environmental Health. They examine cultivation sites, and they determine whether or not it is a finable violation, depending on how bad the smell might be, or how strong the smell might be, I should say. Last year, there were 16 complaints filed with the city for the whole year, and that was up from 7 complaints that they had in 2010. I don't know what they had for 2011, but whatever. All right, so the smell complaints are rising, of course, as more people are, at first, were growing their medical gardens outdoors, but now have the right to grow their own recreational plants as well. Now, these field meters that the environmental health investigators are using are designed to check whether or not the odor is reaching a ratio of what's called an 8-to-1 ratio, where I guess if, one part odor versus 8 parts rest of the air, right? Basically, you're coming up with a fraction. If the odor is 1/8 or more of what you're smelling, then it's a smell violation. And this odor ordinance could be a fine as much as $2,000 for the smell of your pot plants. But that's not the only standard. Even if the smell is below that 8-to-1 ratio, the nasal ranger reading isn't necessary if 5 households complain about a site's odor within a 12-hour period. So if you got a neighbor that doesn't really like your pot smell, if he can go round up 4 other neighbors to complain, then you're going to get the violation. And again, that can be up to a $2,000 fine. Now, Denver contrasts quite a bit with what we got in Seattle. The story comes from the Seattle PI, Will We Just Have to Live with the Smell of Growing Marijuana? And it says that in the Seattle and Puget Sound region, the agency designated to handle odors doesn't have rules on the books or any leverage to do anything about marijuana smells. The agency in Seattle is called the Puget Sound Clear Air Agency, and they get complaints about marijuana odors as well. The supervising inspector there, named Mario Pedroza, says there's really nothing they can do. They've talked about it internally, but there's nothing they can do because they're not involved in issuing permits for any marijuana grow operations, so they can't withhold a permit, right? And the smell isn't coming from any process they have control over. Like, the laws there are written up in such a way that they can control, say, the smoke from a chimney. So when they get their complaints about the smell of pot, their only recommendation is to track down whichever agency issued the building permit or the business license and file a complaint with them. So nobody really has a place to turn. And of course, these Seattle folks also aren't using any nasal ranger technology. Pedroza says, quote, "We use our very own noses," end quote. And this is something we as marijuana reformers are going to have to think about, because personally, I love the smell of growing marijuana. I think it smells fantastic, right? But a lot of people don't feel that way. And this is going to be a complaint we're going to hear as marijuana becomes more accepted and legalized, is people who don't like it and don't like the smell wanting to fight that odor complaint against us. We're going to have to figure out what to do about that. And for a long time, indoor growers have been using all sorts of technologies, carbon filtration and so on, to be able to deal with protecting against the odor, because the odor could get you busted. But now that the odor won't get you busted, I'm afraid a lot of people are going to move away from using any of those techniques, and we'll see more and more of these complaints. Also, because more people will be growing outdoors. This is obviously a bigger concern in Denver, where they have recreational grows allowed, versus Washington, where recreational grows aren't allowed. But still, as marijuana becomes more recognized in recreational or medical fashion, there's going to be more grows, there's going to be more complaints, and we need to get ahead of this and try to figure out how we're going to advocate for changes in the law while still respecting the rights of our neighbors to be free from unwanted smells. That said, I used to have a Korean neighbor that cooked kimchi all the time, and that shit smells awful. Could we get an ordinance for that? That's all I say, man, is let's just be treated equally. I want marijuana smells to be treated like any other smells. They shouldn't be singling out just marijuana. Think about that. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody, and it's a new day for Electric Tuesday because we got a brand new music editor on the line with us. Electric Bob is joining us on the phone. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Russ?
I'm fantastic, and I knew that you were going to be the perfect guy for Electric Tuesday. When I saw your avatar on Skype, it's the Carl Sagan picture with the words, Carl on duty, Sagan ops. Kudos, my man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I love Sagan. Have you Pioneer? It's in hyperspace now.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. The Carl Sagan disc, you know, that he put on the Voyager 1979 space probe is what has left the heliosphere. Is that where we're out at now?
Yeah, it's out of our solar system, but it's still in a buffer between our solar system and the rest of space. And they said it's going to be something like 40,000 years before it gets out of that buffer.
Mm. Unless it comes back and attacks us as V'ger in 300 years.
Right.
You never know, right? We'll have to call Captain Kirk. Hey, we've got some great music here for Electric Tuesday, and I don't recognize the name of the band, but maybe you can tell us a little bit more about it.
It's just one guy. He's a DJ in Scotland. He's been on the scene for about 5 years, 6 years. He's up and coming. I don't really know if he's known in the U.S., but it's new upcoming dance music that's really popular overseas, and it's just really good. It's real lush, really chill. Just there's a lot of things going on in the song, and I hope you guys like it.
All right, this is Hudson Mohawk, and the tune is called Thank You, and thank you, Electric Bob, for joining us here on Electric Tuesdays.
No problem. You take it easy, Russ.
All right. Make sure you check out Electric Bob's posts on 420radio.org. You can also subscribe to each day's Daily Toker Tunes and get them downloaded to your iPod. Check it out at 420radio.org. What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology,
Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
I'm Jennifer Alexander.
And I'm Iva Cunningham. Listen to our show, A Different View, live every Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on 420radio.org, where you can join the conversation in our live chat.
We will be bringing together the best women activists to share women's perspectives on marijuana, the drug war, and the consequences on our families and our society.
If you miss our live show, you can check out the replays of A Different View on 420radio.org, Monday at 12 p.m., Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 11 p.m., and again on Saturday at 3 p.m.
Check us out on Facebook at A Different View 420 and on Twitter at ADV420 and our website, www.adifferentview.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
At the top of last month, there was the Portland Hemp Stock that I unfortunately was unable to attend since I was at the Boston Freedom Rally. But the good folks at hemp.org and the Campaign for the Restoration and Regulation of Hemp filmed some video, and we are proud to show some of that today. This features CRRH's Paul Stanford and an opening speech here by Chris Conrad from California. Enjoy.
Thank you, Hemp Stock. Great to be here in Oregon. Yeah. You enjoying this beautiful day today?
Yeah.
Warm enough for you? Well, you better get used to it, because when I wrote my book 20 years ago, Hemp Lifeline to the Future, I said that if they didn't legalize hemp soon and make a situation where we changed our industrial base away from fossil fuels and petrochemicals and taking it out of the hands of the multi-corporations and returning it to the hands of the farmers and the workers of this society, then we could pretty much count on increased desertification, rising tides, rising temperatures, and climate change in a way that comes in the term of extreme weather. And guess what didn't happen? The government did not step in and do the right thing, and guess what has happened? The ocean has risen 8 inches since I wrote that book. The polar ice caps have melted away to a large extent, more in the North Pole than the South, of course. And we also know that the multinational corporations are running things more than ever. That Monsanto is trying to dominate the food lines, the seeds that we all need. This generation has gotten from our ancestors and forebears who worked so hard to bring us to this point in history where we stand today at a pivotal, epochal moment. The question today is not, will cannabis survive? Because hemp has been around for millions of years. It's been side by side with humans for 10,000 years. Hemp will survive. The question is, is the human race smart enough to start to use hemp to make sure that we survive, that you survive, that your children survive, that our economy grows in a way that doesn't require constant increases in consumerism and constant destruction of our forests and pollution of our environment? This is the moment where we stand today. And as I'm here at the stage here at Hempstock, I'm reminded that the last time I came and stood on the stage, I was walking onto the stage to speak, and a good friend of mine was walking off the stage, having just spoken. And that guy was named Jack Harrer. And he went off the stage, and I saw him sit down next to a tree, and I went on the stage to speak, and it was the last time I saw Jack alive. The spirit of Jack Harrer is here.
Woo!
It's in this land like nowhere else, because this is where Jack poured it out. And you are the people who remember him and who remember the dream. When I edited the book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, it was a moment where I saw a diamond in the rough, a book that I thought could change the world. And now today we're at a moment where John McCain has come out favorable to legalizing marijuana, where the Tea Party candidates led the charge to get industrial hemp restored. Now, I'm not saying this because these are the people that I agree with on a lot of political things. I'm just saying, look how far we have come. Look how far the information is today. Oregon and California, we have a big problem on our hands. Washington State kicked our ass last year.
Yeah.
They legalized marijuana in a way that we don't necessarily like all the details, but they did it in a way that does allow for the restoration of industrial hemp. Colorado, likewise. The state of Kentucky decriminalized up to 8 ounces of marijuana and has good policy, a program in which they have a statewide commission to investigate how to bring hemp back there. These are the conservatives. We are the area that's supposed to believe in saving the world. We're the liberal, the progressive group. Why are they getting ahead of us? It's because history has taken a step forward. It's because when Barack Obama said to us, we have to force him to do the right thing, that we came back and we have done that. The reason that the Department of Justice has announced a new policy to reduce the number of people who go to prison on mandatory minimums is not because the prison industrial complex wants it. It's because we, the people, have demanded it. The reason that we have these advances happening and that the Department of Justice has announced that it's going to respect the marijuana laws in Colorado and Washington is not because Barack Obama is such a cool guy. The reason is because the people of the United States have moved ahead of our government. And they're too darn slow at catching up with us. And so that's what we're here to do today. Hey, I'm not trying to steal the thunder of my next speaker, a good friend of mine, Paul Stanford. But one of the reasons that wild horses cannot keep me from being here today is because I believe that the great state of Oregon will legalize marijuana at the next election in 2016. And I'm more confident than ever because of what Paul is going to tell you about three initiatives that have just gotten approved to be circulated. And so if there's anybody out there who really thinks that you want a future where your children can grow up in an environment that is not toxic, in a world that is not controlled by Monsanto and international corporations, you better register, you better get your petition and get out and collect the signatures to put this thing on the ballot, because we can't keep waiting. Go and visit the hemp hut and learn about how important hemp is to our economy, in fact, to our future and the future of our children and their children from here out. As a child of the baby boomer generation, I'm embarrassed at the condition which my generation passed the world on to your generation. And so I beg you, do not make the same mistake we made. Do not become complacent. Do not become self-indulgent. It's too important. It's too important. This is our human race. Right. And when we're gone, hemp will continue. But let's do this right now. Let's take that hemp plant. Let's fasten it into a lifeline of rope that we can grab onto and pull ourselves into the future. We need you to do that. It starts here today.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm Chris Conrad. Hemp for victory.
Chris Conrad, passionate and dedicated activist. Can you do no less? Show passion, show dedication. Go hard for weed. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
We are here today to celebrate hemp and cannabis. And we're also happy to announce the launch of the campaign to put this thing back on the ballot. Last November, we got 47% of the vote statewide. 61% right here in Multnomah County, 63% in Portland. So Portland loves cannabis. We might as well just take the R out of Portland right now. But you know, we just launched. We got approval yesterday afternoon at 4:45 to circulate our petition to legalize marijuana. And we have two petitions. One is a statutory measure. That's a law. And the other one's a constitutional amendment. So it says our constitutional amendment basically says that you can possess, use, and grow marijuana, and the state can enact laws to regulate the sale of marijuana to adults. And then the statutory measure is almost exactly like Measure 80 last year, with a couple of changes to make our opposition's arguments disappear to a certain degree. You know, it looks possible at this stage that next February our Oregon legislature will put a bill out there and refer a bill to regulate marijuana to the people. But if they don't, then we've got two initiatives ready to go. If the legislature puts a bill out there, we will stop our statutory measure and just move forward with our constitutional one. But we can't, you know, we're trying to put pressure on them to act, and maybe they will. And several legislators have said they want to, but so far, we don't have any guarantees. But we have a guarantee that if we get over 82,000 valid Oregon voter signatures, we can put that statutory measure on the ballot again. Woo! And if we get over 116,000 signatures, then we can put the constitutional amendment on the ballot. So we're trying to make the people of our state vote twice to legalize marijuana in 2014. If the legislature doesn't do it, we will.
That's right.
You know, for me, hemp, cannabis, marijuana are really the same thing. Late great friend of mine, Kentucky Attorney Gatewood Galbraith, named the people who were really responsible for this, and it's the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, military, industrial, transnational, corporate, elite, fascist sons of a bitches. And they sold us that there was a deadly new drug called marijuana. And it was based on this anti-Hispanic racism that they used this word, marijuana. If they'd said hemp, they never would have been able to criminalize it. So, you know, they created this to protect the petrochemical and wood fiber industries. And so if they said it was a deadly new drug, but really it's the oldest crop known to man. All archaeologists agree that marijuana has been cultivated at least 12,000 years and maybe over 30,000 years. You know, the first agricultural crop, it might be the very reason that our ancestors gave up the hunter-gatherer way of life and started planting plants so they could have a stash. And they could have, you know, they found frozen remains in tombs where the people are buried or die carrying their herb with them, the same way I will be found carrying my herb with me. But the truth of the matter is that it's really about fuel and fiber. The drugs are just a smokescreen. It's really about money, power, and the continued centralization of economic and political control. So our initiatives are out there, and we need you to get involved. Go right over to the booth with the American flags. Sign that petition, please. If you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote. We've got to register and vote and take this system back. And the more of us that register, the sooner that will happen. I also want to thank all our vendors out there who've come out here and made this all possible. We ran into a lot of roadblocks. It cost us a lot of money at the last minute. The city actually came forward and required that we hire 30 additional security people. They told us last week. They also said we have to pay $4,000+ for a parking patrol to give us tickets out on the street. They basically dropped $30,000 worth of bills on us the last minute, trying to say, if you don't do it, no permit. Well, we did it. You know, we put it together. But, you know, I just want you to know it takes a lot of volunteer effort, a lot of volunteer work, and as several people have said from this stage, freedom isn't free. It's constantly being assaulted, and it's two steps forward and one step back. Right now, we're seeing some steps forward. The votes in Washington and Colorado have changed the whole dynamic. You know, we got 47% of the vote last November, but recent polls have shown that the support for cannabis legalization now is up over 63%. So we put something on the ballot. They know we're going to win next time. People are educated. So help us do that. Get involved. Register to vote. Help us circulate this petition and help us restore hemp. Thank you.
That's a video from the Portland hemp stock. Paul Stanford speaking, the chief petitioner of two different petitions here in the state of Oregon, one for statutory, the OCTA, I don't know, part 12, part 13, I don't know, and then a constitutional amendment as well, which defines marijuana use and cultivation as a personal privacy right. We'll keep you posted on what's going on with those, but when we come back, a radical rant, another Child Protective Services case.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Tonight, I appeared on Jeopardy, and, well, how do I say this? I lost. Not only did I lose, I lost to this guy. That's right. I lost to Cheech Marin. Cheech of Cheech and Chong fame, pot-smoking star of blunt-burning films like Up in Smoke, Next Smoke, and Still Smoking. He not only beat me, he crushed me. When I heard I was up against Cheech Marin, I admit, I thought his reflexes would be slow, not to mention his synapses, perhaps, but I was so very, very wrong.
This guy, as Conan the Barbarian, on what's best in life, to crush your enemies and to hear the lamentation of their women. Cheech.
Who's Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes. Cheech again.
Who is Al Pacino?
Right. Cheech.
What is Pillow Talk?
Right. Cheech.
What is Never Neverland?
Yes. Cheech.
What is Camelot?
Yes. Cheech.
What is a baster?
Yes. You're the winner today. Your charity will get $50,000 and Aisha and Anderson's charity, $25,000 each.
So I admit it, I lost to Cheech Marin. I tied for second with comedian Aisha Taylor, who is also a great player. And joining us now is the two-time Jeopardy champion, the man who crushed me, Cheech Marin. Cheech, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much, Anderson.
Have people just been congratulating you? Do they pour out into the streets to congratulate you? Because people have been mocking me mercilessly since this thing was aired tonight.
It's tough when you can't hit a big league curveball, man. That's the separation point.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, you know, we have been following these stories of Child Protective Services taking away kids of medical marijuana-using patients since our good friend Lindsay Reinhart in Idaho in April had her kids taken away in an act to try to squelch her political speech. These stories are just so maddening every time I read them. You know, we've done many stories where parents are charged with child endangerment and the kids taken away because there's a pot plant in the house. Well, this latest story comes to us from Michigan, and it's just a very harrowing tale. And let me read you my write-up on it first, and then we'll talk about it. The Michigan Medical Marijuana Act was passed in 2008. It contained a provision to protect the families of medical marijuana patients from legal consequences that the previous medical marijuana states did not envision. The Act's Section 4C reads, quote, A person shall not be denied custody or visitation of a minor for acting in accordance with this act, unless the person's behavior is such that it creates an unreasonable danger to the minor that can be clearly articulated and substantiated, end quote. Well, that provision did not stop Child Protective Services from taking away Bree Green, the six-month-old daughter of Steve and Maria Green. Maria is a patient with multiple sclerosis and a registered caregiver who was growing marijuana in a locked cultivation room in her home in accordance with the law. The case began with a custody dispute over another one of Maria's children, with whom she shares custody with her ex-husband. The ex claimed Maria's home wasn't fit for children since there was marijuana use going on. Child Protective Services got involved and sided with the ex-husband, ordering the removal of baby Bree on Friday, September 13th, and the termination of her visitation rights with the child of her ex-husband. Steve and Maria protested, and the case was reviewed by the Ingham family court referee named Rod Porter. Porter upheld the removal of baby Bree despite the medical marijuana law's Section 4C protections. So, what was the unreasonable danger to the minor that can be clearly articulated and substantiated? Porter, when confronted by the Michigan Marijuana News, replied, quote, "It is reasonable to assume that marijuana is being grown in that home with children being present, and that is dangerous for children to be involved in that situation. We have homes being robbed at gunpoint by individuals who know that children are at home," end quote. Let me say that again. Quote, "It is reasonable to assume that marijuana is being grown in that home with children being present, and that is dangerous for children to be involved in that situation. We have homes being robbed at gunpoint by individuals who know that children are at the home," end quote. So, if the possibility of a home invasion robbery is the standard for taking people's kids, Michigan parents better take care not to keep any jewelry or electronics in the home either. Those were the targets of a home invasion in Northwest Ottawa County just a week after Bree was taken by CPS. I was able to find, by doing a Google News search, four more home invasion robberies in Michigan that occurred since Bree was taken, one resulting in a murder, and none of them apparently involving any home medical marijuana grows. In 2008, medical marijuana passed in every single county in Michigan, even the counties that voted for John McCain. It passed with 63% of the vote. Certainly, the people of Michigan didn't intend a protection for medical marijuana-using patients and parents to be valid only if they weren't growing or using medical marijuana. Now, I applauded the Michigan law when this came out because, like I said in the opening there, it contained that protection, that 4C protection that supposedly protected custody and visitation rights for parents. But as you can see, so long as marijuana remains contraband, so long as it remains prohibited and the cost of it is so great that people are willing to break into homes to get it, the general public, the lawmakers, the legal officials still ascribe a danger to it. A danger they don't seem to fear when it comes to jewelry and electronics and fine art and cash and any other reason why someone might be breaking into someone's house for a home invasion. It is the prohibition of marijuana that makes it so profitable and keeps it so scarce for the vast majority of the people that want to use it that makes these home invasions over pot even reasonable. In all the home invasion robberies that I could read about, in those other five that I was able to pull up that had nothing to do with marijuana, it all had to do with break-ins trying to get some other sort of expensive goods. We cannot have a standard that says, because you might get robbed, we have to take your kids away from you. This is nothing but rank discrimination against medical marijuana use. And that discrimination comes out of fear, and it comes out of stereotyping, and it comes out of the ignorance most people have about medical marijuana, or about marijuana in particular. There is nothing inherently dangerous about a pot plant. It's one of the safest things a kid could be around. Now, there are nutrients and fertilizers and all sorts of things that might be used in growing marijuana that should be kept locked and away from children in childproof containers. But that applies to many things that we have in our households. Cleaners and bleaches and all sorts of things that we keep under the counters or we hope locked away from the kids that can be dangerous or poisonous to them. Again, nothing but a rank discrimination against the parents that are using medical marijuana. Now, the last few states to have passed medical marijuana laws, a lot of them also have included this language to supposedly protect child custody and child visitation. And we are going to find in those other states, like we have found in Michigan, that those laws will only be as good as the local prosecutor or the state attorney general enforces them. It's time for us to call on the Michigan Attorney General and all the officials in Michigan to heed the will of the voters, nearly 2 out of 3 of them, that approved medical marijuana with a very strict protection for the parental rights of patients who use and grow. Unfortunately, the Attorney General of Michigan, Bill Shute, is not much of a fan of medical marijuana and has done everything in his power to try to restrict and restrain the growth of medical marijuana dispensaries and the growth of the medical marijuana patient rolls. And again, this all comes from the demonization, not of the medical users, but of the recreational users like you and me. The people out there that continue to say that there's something wrong with us if there's not something wrong with us for using pot. The people that continue to think in terms of, I'm a patient, not a criminal, as if a pot smoker could only be one of those two things. As legalization spreads in Washington and Colorado, and more medical marijuana states come online, as time flows on, these kind of things will become historical aberrations. These will become the abominations of the past. But we need to hasten that day. We need to educate people and have them understand that medical marijuana parents are good parents. And in many cases, they are better parents, better able to attend to their children, thanks to being able to control the pain that normally rules their daily lives. Better able to take care of their children because they're not in a fog from pharmaceutical drugs and narcotics that take care of pain, but leave them so doped up that the kids has no interaction with his parents. Better able to be parents because in addition to taking care of whatever ailment they might be using medical marijuana for, marijuana can also bring along a sense of relief and a relief from stress and an easygoing attitude that can be very helpful when you've got a toddler going through the terrible twos. I know so many people in marijuana activism and growing and in this whole movement that are parents, and their children are the most wonderful children, and they are some of the best parents I have ever met. And it breaks my heart when I have to drive out to Boise, Idaho to get on the steps of the Capitol to scream in our loudest voices for the media to hear that they are ruining families. That if you're saying, what about the children when it comes to marijuana legalization, medical or recreational, we will yell back, yeah, what about the children? What about keeping them with their parents? What about keeping them with their families? What about not breaking up good families merely for choosing the safest therapeutically active substance known to man, according to a DEA judge? That's why we'll continue fighting. That's why we'll be here day after day, bringing you the stories of these child protective service rackets that continue to destroy our families for a profit potential. You'll learn more about this in the days to come. We got some special reports coming up on CPS in cooperation with Ladybud and the Normal Women's Alliance and Moms for Marijuana, who are definitely keeping an eye on this. Hey, folks, that's all the time we got here for Hour 1, but make sure you stay tuned for Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio is up next. I got some information on Camp Cannabis in North Carolina, as well as the Better People Forum here in Portland that I'm appearing at on Thursday. We'll talk about the government shutdown a little bit. We've got video from the Jenny Kush candlelight rally in Denver last night from our own Grey Wolf. And we're going to talk about marijuana lab testing and e-cigarettes and vaporizers. Lots of subjects on hand for Toker Talk Radio. We're so glad it's back on the air and so glad you're here with us. Thanks for supporting us. Visit 420radio.org and click on donate to help support us. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalruss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you